Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to another edition of the Whiskey Sticks podcast, where today we talk bourbon and whiskey 101. This has been something that's been near and dear to my heart, and I couldn't understand for the life of me why we hadn't done it sooner. As always, I am joined with my right-hand, left-hand man, Josh and Mike. Gentlemen, how are y'all doing this evening?
What's going on? Doing pretty good. Got a bourbon in my hand. That always makes my day better. Trying out some new bottles. Going to review them, go over some things. Josh, how you doing?
Not too bad. Can't complain. You know, just like you said yourself, you know, I got two wonderful bottles here for y'all. You know, we'll let y'all know a little bit about it here coming up. But doing great, you know. Had a great weekend. Can't complain. On to the next.
I just want to let the audience know that these are some selfish guys because they told me we were going to review one bottle, and now each of them are double fisted in this show right now. And I have one bottle to my name here, and I feel like I was cheated, like I'm false representing the, you know,
a good bottle. They'll
just have to drink two glasses.
I guess so. So if you haven't guessed, this evening we're talking bourbons, whiskeys. We're talking terminology. We're talking what is your go-to. There's so many things we're going to get into, you know, as something that's, I think, near and dear to us. When we started this podcast, one of the things that was centered around was obviously an adult beverage in our hand that we like to have anytime we're, you know, doing this, anytime we're gaming, you know, anytime we're out and about. So it's absolutely important, at least to me anyway, that we sit down, talk it out, let y'all know where we're coming from, let y'all know what our preferences are, and maybe school you up on some stuff that you didn't know with respect to whiskeys and bourbons. So before we get into all that, obviously, we have to let the people know how to find you. Mike, how can the people find you on all your different socials?
We are on Instagram and Twitter, WhiskeySticks24. We are still figuring out the Discord, but that'll be a part of the plan for all of our gaming-centric drinkers, which we all are. You can also find Josh on Grindr. He is eagerly searching.
Negative.
You're going to have to swipe your way to find him. I don't think there's a search function on that app.
Not on any
Josh,
website, actually.
Fill people in?
So with our socials, WhiskeySticks24, we're trying to get, you know, out there with the community a little bit more, you know. Send us some questions, you know, maybe y'all want a different type of podcast, you know, let us know what y'all want to hear. If you have any questions about what we're reviewing as well, let us know. You know, we love to talk with you guys. Any input that you have as well is great help. So, yeah, I mean, you know, let's get active in there and, you know, we'll see you out there.
Absolutely. Couldn't agree more. These guys are my social butterflies. They went out on an epic quest last night that will not be discussed in this podcast, but just know these boys are out there looking for y'all, engaging, trying to find ideas for our next great podcast. As always, at this point in the show, I have what we call a T-Mex tie-in, where I break down some Houston sports. We're Houston guys, so we always like to, you know, bring people up to date on what's going on with our different sports franchises. Unfortunately, the Astros are no more. You know, right now it's ALCS, NLCS time. So there are only four teams left vying for the World Series. You got the Dodgers and the Mets playing in the NL, and in the AL, you've got the Guardians, or the Gardos, as I like to call them, from Cleveland, and that team that nobody likes, the New York Yankees. Go Gardos, go. Rooting for a Gardos World Series championship. If I had to pick one, obviously Astros till we die. The Houston Texans. Phenomenal stuff going on with the Houston Texans. They recently took down the New England Patriots in Foxborough, a place they'd never won before, won 40-21. Absolute domination. CJ Stroud got whatever he wanted. Joe Mixon returned back into the fold. He balled out. Damian Pierce returned back in the fold. He balled out. Defense was phenomenal. Forced two picks, two fumbles. I mean, pretty complete win in what could have been a, you know, what are they? It's a trap game. I'm sorry. A trap game because they're playing Green Bay next week. That's a big, huge matchup. Two young quarterbacks, two really good football teams. And New England is really bad. So it was would have been very easy for Houston to lay down. They went in there, did their thing. The Rockets, they're getting started, preseason starting up. They had a meet and greet Sunday where the fans got to meet, get some autographs signed. Preseason starting to ramp up for them. They're a good young team. I think they're going to be fighting for a play-in spot, playoff spot. I think they're going to be fun to watch. I'm definitely going to get out to a couple of games. Also, I cannot forget about my Houston Dynamo. They are playoff bound. They have one more game that they will play this coming Saturday against the LA Galaxy. If you're in Houston, definitely come check them out. Definitely come find me at Shell Energy Stadium. I'll be there with mine and Mike's brother-in-law. We'll be kicking it, hoping to see the Dynamo secure home field advantage. And that is what is going on with respect to Houston sports. Any questions, comments, concerns, fellas?
I will say that Will Anderson Jr., a.k.a. Terminator, a.k.a. my favorite player on the team right now, had three sacks and I think four TFLs or something like that. He was absolutely abusing the fact that they were paying attention to Danielle Hunter. This is the best 1-2 punch edge rushing in the game. I don't want to hear anything else about it. Josh had something?
Yes, yeah. So I actually wanted a insight, you know, from you guys. Was there ever a team that won the Super Bowl and then their baseball team won the World Series?
Yes. New England and Boston did it.
Okay.
I think they're the most recent team to do it. So
you don't get to talk about the Royals or the Chiefs or any of that nonsense.
So, you know, and that's what I was bringing up, you know. Chiefs are out there, you know, with football, so are the Royals, you know.
The Royals are not out there. I think they're donezo, right? Are they still
there? The Royals just recently got knocked out. They were knocked out by the Yankees.
That's what it is.
There you go. That's why you didn't see as many blue jerseys downtown. It's okay.
That's what it is. That's what it was.
They're back to the Kansas City refs. Chiefs. Yeah. Sorry.
Nice.
So that wraps up our sports section. You know, normally we just, you know, kind of dive into the sports world. I mean, I'm always tied in, but, you know, kind of catching these guys up, whatever they're missing, that sort of thing. Moving on, the next section of our podcast is normally called WYD. Right?
What are you drinking? Yeah, that's it.
But today we will not discuss what we're drinking. Everybody's got specific bottles. We're going to unveil them. We're going to talk about them, break them down, what they like, what they would, you know, what they would do with said drink now that they've had a chance to sample it. So moving into the next realm, the first thing I want to talk about, you know, just whiskey, bourbon, that sort of thing in general. What's your go-to order at the bar, fellas? You walk in, you know, you've decided adult beverages tonight. What you drinking at the bar?
So for me, it's often a bullet on ice, but I know that's also Josh's because we drink together. So another alternative, if you're feeling frisky, is like you can always get a Woodford Reserve that is also great on ice. I think this weekend at one point, I had a Red Bull and vodka in my hand and I had a Coors Banquet tall boy in my hand. Don't ask why. They actually don't mix that bad. Like, I wasn't upset about it. Definitely didn't make any bad decisions because of that.
Yeah, of course.
It's more of like a boost point, but mm-hmm. Josh, what are you getting?
Yeah, no pressure, Josh. I know he stole your thunder, so now you're forced to.
No, by all means, you know. I mean, they were both great chasers for each other. You know, it was great. For me, usually, you know, if it ain't a cold beer, right, I will always get Bullet Bourbon on ice. You know, a double. Has to be a double. Make it last a little bit longer. And beer of choice has to be Carta Blanca right now. You know,
you can't find that anywhere. Yeah,
Mexican listeners out there. Great, great beer. Very refreshing. We actually had a Sol this past weekend, you know, because, you know, that's what they had on shelves.
So while this has nothing to do with beers, and I'm really surprised that's where we got to, there's got to be another bourbon or another whiskey that you'll go to, sir. Because we're Jack not reviewing Daniels. Beers right now. There we
Jack
go.
Jack Daniels, yeah.
See,
yeah.
No, you got me in the bar realm. There's so many things. I'm so irresponsible. Like, my go-to shot is a Scooby Snack, which is alcohol. I think it's all alcohol, but it tastes like coconuts. If you're not against coconuts, not textured with coconut, but that's amazing. If you've ever had the, there's a bowl they do at Cheddar's. It's like a coconut rimmed, like margarita of sorts, but it's got like rum in it, I think. And it's delicious. It's absolute candy. Don't have three. It's not good for you. You got to think though, like you go to the bar, there's so much you could do. Like, I mean, like an AMF sounds good. Long Island, shout out to Pablo.
Hold on, for the fellas that don't know what an AM, or the ladies too, what is an AMF, sir? Please elaborate.
Oh, an adios, motherfucker. I gotta Google that. I don't know what's in it. I've never asked. I said, hey, I'm trying to get smashed.
Lot of liquor.
and they will make it for me.
I believe it has the Four Horsemen in it.
Something. But I mean, like, you know, you got, like, for shots, like Mike was saying, you know, you have the Scooby snacks, you have the green tea shots, the Mexican candy. Those are also, you know, really, really great. Some staples to go to. Remember, you know, back in the day, you know, I mean, a couple of friends would just go down the shot list, see what tasted good.
Are you guys ready for the ingredient list?
Do it.
All right. You're looking at 1/2 ounce vodka, 1/2 ounce of rum, 1/2 ounce of tequila, 1/2 ounce of gin, 1/2 ounce of blue curacao, 2 ounces sweet and sour mix, Sprite or 7-Up to top, garnish with a lemon wedge. Nice. Can't read. And then a preserved cherry if you'd like. But yeah, it's all liquor. And a splash of 7-Up.
Or Sprite. You know, your choice.
Man, oh man.
Yeah, wow. It's a get gone. Like, if you want something to hit you in the face, it's that or the Long Island, which also has a splash of Coke in it.
That's why it's called adios.
So let me ask y'all this. Mm-hmm. Is your shot preference based on the company you keep, i.e. a lady, and that's why it is something that's a little bit more palatable, or is this your actual go-to? Are we not doing shots of tequila? Are we not doing shots of whiskey?
It. I'll take them. Like, I was handed a shot of bourbon for a buddy of ours's bachelor party. I want to say it was Bullet or Woodford, one of the two. They're really hard once they're already in a glass for me to tell you what's what. But I'm a whole slut when I go to the bar. Like, candy, I'm drinking it every time.
All right, so that means no Fireball?
Yes, actually at the bar we were at last night or Saturday night for clarification, they will often play this, you know, the Pitbull Fireball, you know, da, 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 da. And like these, oh man, these beautiful women will walk by and just pour Fireball straight from the bottle into your mouth and they don't even charge you. It's my favorite part. It's like if they did that at Olive Garden or at Cheddar's for people's birthdays, I would be way happier about it.
Fair enough.
I'm hanging out at the wrong bar because that sounds like a good time.
I'm saying.
Okay, so Jaeger bombs, is that a thing?
That is a thick shot to take there, good sir.
Well, that's one half of a bear fight. You do Irish car bomb, and then you do the Jaeger bomb. You try to wash it down before it curdles in your stomach. It's Jesus. Awesome. Another go to bed. You're done.
All right. So for myself, since we've clearly talked about the slutty nature that which y'all operate, I'm a little bit older, a little bit more chill, a little bit more relaxed. Definitely not going in there to see if I can drink all the different things. As far as my go-to to order at a bar, normally Maker's Mark. Really, really simple. Normally they have it. Normally you get that on ice. No issues. If they have top shelf bourbons, I'm looking at an old fashioned. Old fashions for me are definitely something, you know, a little bit on the sweet tooth side, you know, it satisfies that, but at the same time, gives you that good flavor. If I'm doing a shot, definitely not afraid to do a shot of tequila. For me, the one that I normally put the ladies on, Washington apples. Those are sweet, a nice little something.
What's the one? It's like a peppermint, like something. I was also at the bar a couple weekends, months, I don't know, a while ago. I was at the bar and it was Up Down, which is an arcade bar. Super fun time. Really easy to get drunk while you're playing games. I couldn't even tell you what it's called, but it's all peppermint. And she was like, this is my favorite shot. So she bought me a shot. I bought her a shot. The Scooby snack was better by far. Just the body of it, the flavor, the consistency. It was, you know, silky smooth. Her little peppermint mouthwash was awful. I would not buy it for myself.
Josh, you feel any type of way?
Lemon drops are really good too.
There you go. Those,
you know, so, you know, a nice little sour, you know, compared to the, you know, all the bitterness that you're having, you know, something to wake up those taste buds again. Really like
it. Oh, wake them up.
Yes, sir.
Mm. Yeah, just a little. It's not because you're a slut. It's because waking up your taste buds.
Yeah, exactly. You know.
Blanton's. That's another one that I'll buy from time to time. We will step in old place. Yeah, 100%. Mm-hmm. That's, I live up there when I can. But yeah, so that's another thing I will get just to get it to flex to say, you ain't up on this, whatever Kanye said. But yeah, no, it's not as tasty as it costs. I'll say that about Blanton's.
All right. So my next question, next item up for bid. When you go into the Specs or whatever liquor store and you're normally looking to grab a bottle of something, you know, just in general, doesn't have to be a whiskey, a bourbon, anything like that. But in general, what matters to you? Is it alcohol by volume? You know, is it ABV? Is it price? Is it, you know, can I mix it? Is it, you know, what matters to you when you're going shopping for your next bottle to add to the shelf?
Josh, I'll let you start us off.
Oh, okay. Thank you very much. So for me, you know, besides what matters, right, what I look for immediately, you know, whenever I go into the liquor store is first and foremost the look, right?
Curb appeal.
Yeah, exactly. You know, I gotta, you know, it has to have some nice curves on her.
What was it, Willett, that we looked at today at Justin's? Yeah. He was really enthused by the long shafted
the long
bottle
neck that it had. Yeah.
Very long. It had a flared base, so it was safe for use.
Yeah, it was completely
but,
safe.
He looked up reviews and it wasn't very good.
So that's what I do. You know, whenever I go to a liquor store and I know that I'm going to go buy something nice for myself, you know, or somebody else, you know, I'll be there, you know, for a while, like reviewing, you know, these different things. Like, you know, is this a good, you know, whiskey, tequila, you know, bourbon, whatever I'm looking for. And, you know, I'll go, you know, through bottle that looks, you know, nice. Because at the end of the day, it's a gift, right? You know, whether it be to myself or to somebody else. So it needs to be appealing. And, you know, and I want it to taste good as well. So, you know, I'll do my little research, you know, as I'm there.
Google.
Going through.
That's what it means.
Exactly. Yeah, Google that. One thing I do like, though, about Total Wine, they have their rankings on there, you know. They rate them themselves and out of 100 score, you know. So it makes it a lot easier whenever you're choosing, you know, a bottle that you might want to gift or have for yourself. Mikey, what are your thoughts?
Oh, me? Yeah, absolutely. Curb appeal is very important to me. Price. I drink by price a lot. So like whether a bottle's good or not, I'm usually kind of, I've either gotten reviews from friends and family and I know a bottle or two, or once I've had a bottle like Makers, if I want to get something at a higher cost, that's Makers. I know Makers base is good. So that's why you got to like go get your starter Pokemon, drink the base of everything. Not real fast, you know, pace yourself, but get an idea of what that brand's giving you, because as the price goes up, the quality will get better. The taste will be richer. Some things are expensive just because they are. That doesn't mean they're good. Like Willett for Josh, although I have had Willett, it was given to me in a travel size once and it wasn't bad over ice. It was good. It was drinkable. However, another thing I do is like clarity of the bottle. Like, if you know anything about bourbons, the darker it is, the longer it's aged, the lighter it is, the younger she is. If that tells you anything about how bold the flavor can be, that's a good like eye test. Like when you're walking by and you're like, okay, a darker bourbon's going to give me a bigger punch. Something lighter, something in the middle, you know, like that golden brown, that'll be a smoother sip. You're probably looking under 50% alcohol content. So that's what I look for when I'm shopping. I usually walk out with a few bottles just to try.
So would you say that like a darker color would be like more robust?
Yeah, for sure. Okay. Well, you're going to get more of said flavor because it's aged for longer.
Gotcha.
On average. It's not like a law, but it's like a good guideline.
Mm-hmm.
So for myself, it has changed over time. When I was a young guy, didn't make a lot of money. You know, what was the cheapest, you know, name brand, something that somebody had talked about, you know. There was always the same four or five different liquors that everybody drank.
Crown Royal, Jack Daniels.
Jack, you know, when it was, you know, vodka based, it was always Goose or
no, Goose Ciroc, is a little bit more expensive.
Ciroc was a thing for a while. Yeah, now it's Ciroc. Tito's.
Or Svedka now.
Well, no, it's never Svedka. Stop.
But as I've gotten older, I've realized that, you know, the couple extra dollars I spend in a bottle of liquor, you know, and the better quality definitely leaves me the next day not feeling like I got ran over by a cement truck and trying to recover from, you know, having all the additives that normally get distilled out because, you know, that bottle's been worked over a little bit better than some of the cheaper stuff.
Ran through.
So now I definitely look for things that I wouldn't have looked for as a younger guy, which definitely leads me into, you know, talking about whiskey and bourbon. For me, there's a lot of terminology that I did not know, like how to understand what it was that was in the glass that I was drinking. And so I had to go do my homework. So allow me to introduce y'all to one, what's the difference? The first thing that I want to point out that, you know, really like opened my eyes as far as like, you know, going out and drinking whiskey and drinking bourbon was, you know, which one's which. And all bourbons are whiskeys, but not all whiskeys are bourbons. And what makes a bourbon bourbon is the fact that it is. Sorry.
I will take a point while we're working that over to say that Thomas always buys celebrity branded bottles. He will bring me like any celebrity, like the big ones is The Rock and he didn't miss. That was a good bottle. But like, it's funny because like, oh, hey, Mark Wahlberg's got this other stuff. You've got Melee over here. Like he'll always put me up on the new celebrity bottles. So he's not missing one of those, but he hasn't got 818 yet because, you know, not a fan of the celebrity.
So to be clear, the reason I started doing that was the fact that if they were going to go out and these are, you know, big name people that are in movies and sports and, you know, whatever, if they were going to put their name on it, it had to be good. Like they had to be willing to drink it. So
yeah,
if you think about a person that's worth millions of dollars and if they're willing to put their name on it and sit there and sip it in front of you, shit's got to be good. You know, like there's no way. There's only one actor that I've or comedian that I've always seen with his own bottle of liquor that I've never seen him drink. And that is Kevin Hart. And that's why I will never buy his tequila. I can't even think of the name right now because I've just put it out of my head. But yeah, back to what I was getting to. Bourbon must be made in the U.S. and it must be made from at least 51% corn in the grain bill. And we'll get into what these different bills are because there's, like I said, some terminology that just I was not aware of and I had to go and educate myself. It's got to be distilled at or below 160 proof and placed into a new charred oak barrel for maturation. Now, other whiskeys are made in different, you know, made out of different stuff, corn, rye, all those sorts of things. And that's what makes them what they are. So some terms that I think are very important. A mash bill is the mixture of grains used to make the bourbon, which typically includes corn, rye, and or barley. Obviously, a barrel is a container. Char is a process of burning in the inside of the barrel. Proof, the measurement of whiskey's alcohol content, which is twice the percentage of alcohol by volume. Which I had no idea that was a thing.
I'm not a math guy.
Yeah. So sometimes they'll use wheat as well in their for their grain.
So
and also with bourbon, since they use 51% corn, that's also why bourbon gets its sweet taste from it.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking 100%. Of corn, honorable mention. for Austin, a buddy of ours. He always keeps really a bottle though. Of mellow corn, is what it's called. And it's like $20. You can get it anywhere. That's if you're like a broke college student and you want to get down on technically bourbon, mellow corn. I don't
sounds like a hangover in a bottle.
No, it's not. You won't get that far. It's rough on the tongue. You definitely shoot it. You're never going to sip that. But I mean, I told him that's like the gatekeep of the good bottles, because he does keep a lot of really good bottles. But I was like, yo, you got to have a shot of mellow corn if you're going to come sip this Japanese whiskey that's been aged for 12 years.
I like that.
So I too.
Content. Yeah.
But yeah, just like I said, there's different types of things that make a whiskey what it is. And, you know, you have Scotch that's from Scotland, Irish that's from Ireland, Canadian, Japanese, Tennessee. You know, those are different whiskeys. And, you know, some people prefer to drink a Scotch. Some people prefer to drink a Japanese, like you talked about. Tennessee is really popular. Jack Daniel's made Tennessee whiskey. Absolutely. I mean, they got music about Tennessee whiskey. So, I mean.
Actually, I believe Jack Daniel's, they do make a bottle called Uncle Nearest, which is a shout out to the slave that was that taught Jack Daniel's how to make whiskey. Another good recommendation is Sons of Erin for Irish whiskey. Super smooth, great palate feel. I've drank a lot in my time.
Yeah. Mike's definitely not an alcoholic. He does not attend meetings.
Yeah, clearly.
Not at all. I don't have the time for it. I'm busy.
They also have a really good Jack Daniel's Sinatra. Very nice. Very sweet. I really, really like that bottle. The very first time I tasted it, wasn't a fan. Opened the bottle, had a glass with my little brother, shout out Pablo, and we tasted it, and we both had the same reaction, like, we paid so much for this, eh. And then we had it again, you know, after we let it breathe and stuff, like, you know, a couple months later, and we both looked at each other, and we're like, is this the same glass, like, the same bottle? Like the flavors changed so much, it was very nice.
So again, some other terms, just to be familiar with, when you see a bottle in the liquor store, when you see small batch, that's a term used to describe bourbon that is produced in smaller quantities, typically between 100 and 1,000 barrels. Single barrel, a bourbon that is bottled from a single individual barrel rather than being blended with whiskey from other barrels. Obviously, the age is the number of years that a bourbon's been aged. That matters. I feel like the longer it's been aged, definitely a higher quality. Finish is the final stage of the bourbon making process, which involves bottling the bourbon after it has been aged, in some cases finished in a different type of barrel to add unique flavors. You'll see that a lot, where you'll have certain bourbons and whiskeys that'll be put in different barrels to just give it a little flavor on the back end, which some of those, I mean, are absolutely amazing. And then finally, when you hear people talk, and you're going to hear these two gentlemen talk about how they describe their bourbons or whiskeys, this is what they use to describe them. You know, what they get on the nose. You'll hear people say on the nose, that's the overall aroma of the bourbon. The finish is the aftertaste or the lingering flavors. The body is the texture and the weight in the mouth. You've also got different nodes, you know, a nutty flavor typically means almonds, pecans, other nuts, vanilla, caramel, different ways to describe, you know, what they're tasting, what they're smelling, how it's hitting them. So just things to be aware of when these two gentlemen get to talking. And with that being said, I now want to lean into, oh, go ahead, Josh.
I just want to add a little bit more. So the main difference between a whiskey and bourbon is that bourbon is a type of whiskey made with a specific grain mixture, you know, and aged a certain way. So, like, you know, Thomas had said that bourbon has a mash that's at least 51% corn, and then they'll add other things like barley, rye, or wheat to it as well to give it different types of flavors depending what they're going for. And they do age these in charred oak barrels, like Thomas said. And bourbon is traditionally made in Kentucky, in case y'all wanted to know.
Also, important to note, they're spelled differently while we're on the topic of how bourbon and whiskey are different.
Yeah. Yeah, that very too. Important.
That yeah, too. I mean, it. You gotta specify.
But yeah, I clearly I'm a bourbon guy. I don't know if I've said that enough. That's why I've kind of leaned to a lot of the different bourbon descriptors and stuff of that nature. I'm not opposed to a whiskey. Just bourbon is my go-to. I mean, I've had some different whiskeys, you know, from different places too. Definitely good in their own right. Just if I'm going to it, bourbon's normally where I lean. With all of that being said, I want to lean into what each one of these gentlemen have in front of them, talk about what they're feeling, whether or not it's something they would mix or not. Mike, please lead us off.
Gotcha. I would also like to say that I had this first glass. It is gone now. It's so good. So that's where I'll start. By the way, I think it's like 1707 is Kevin Hart's thing, right? The Lobos 1707 tequila that you've never tried? I thought
it was Coromino or something like that. Look, I don't know.
Yeah. I Googled it, and that's what I got.
All right. Okay, fair enough. So
we'll start with Garrison Brothers Single Barrel Texas Straight Bourbon Whiskey. Now, I am a bourbon guy. I lean bourbon. While Thomas was on the subject, I think bourbons tend to be sweeter than straight whiskey. However, I don't care for brandy too much. It's too sweet at that point. A lot of berries, a lot of flavors. However, the Garrison Brothers are out of Texas. They are the first distiller outside of Kentucky to barrel their own, you know, whiskey. Now this single barrel is gonna run you about, this website says 110, and I think I paid like 111 after tax, so mine was cheaper. Maybe it's on special, I don't know. But it's a beautiful bottle. So as it sits atop your shelf, it's glass with etched designs in the glass, but it also has like a metal band that says single barrel around it with like that Texas swag, you know, the big star. It's got a wax seal, which anytime a bottle is wax sealed, it gets my vote. I don't know, Makers started it, but like a lot of other bottles do it, and I like it. This one is silver. And it even has all the stats on the side, right? So corn variety, it's food grade number one white, from farms in South Texas, which is where from we are. It was distilled and barreled in October 2019. This is barrel number 19938 and bottle number 24. Now, that why I mention that is because, again, I'm a sucker for like the little things, the details. So this is aged 3 years in oak. But it also says all of this on the bottle. So if you're confused or you don't know anything, know that if they put the barrel information, that's a good bottle of bourbon. Like, I wouldn't go putting my receipts out there if I didn't believe in my product. Have you gentlemen had the Garrison Brothers?
No, sir. Can't say that I have. It is a very pretty bottle, though. I will say that.
If you're lucky, I'll let you pour a glass. It's really nice. Thomas, have you had the pleasure?
I've actually have tried it once. I don't know that I've tried the specific bottle that you're drinking. I probably have had a little lesser version of that, but didn't hate it. So definitely when you told me that's what you were talking about, I thought it was a really good choice.
Oh, yeah. So as a single barrel, as Thomas mentioned, it's going to come all of this is out of one barrel. And that's kind of why we are where we are. It is 94 proof. It is supposed to be aged 4 years, but the bottle definitely says three. So why that's different is either way. To the eye, you're going to see dark maple syrup, thin rims and legs. Now, what are legs? Do you guys know? So when you take your bottle and you shift it left or right, or it sits in your glass, when it runs down the side of your glass, those are your legs. That is a rating variant. So that is something to note, how your legs run. Is it all that important? Not to me, but to a critic, it might be. So let's see. It is Texas Straight Bourbon Whiskey. It is in Texas, we've mentioned. To the nose, it's got a good bourbon scent to it. Like you smell this like out of your nose. Also, fun tip, when smelling any alcohol, whether that's wine, bourbon, whiskey, vodka, anything, don't smell vodka. Never mind. It's all rubbing alcohol, but you're going to want to open your mouth when you smell You'll get a lot more of those fruit flavors. Those, like, oak is a tongue taste. Like, when you're looking for hints of certain fruits, you are going to get, in this bottle, red fruits. It's got a good oak spice, some menthol, eucalyptus. It's a very full flavored bottle, which not all are. I've definitely had some bourbons that are really good, but they're very straightforward. They're very to the letter. On your palate or in your mouth, however you'd like to word that, you will get leather, sweet herbal oak up front with a mild proof heat. So there is a slight spice to it, but not a really heavy kick. Now, what I do agree with is that there is a menthol aftertaste, or as Thomas mentioned, your finish. I don't think the menthol note's overwhelming. Okay, so if you drink like I drink, the second glass is always smoother. The third one is even better. And if you can remember the fourth, you're doing great. Like, you're probably hydrating well. I'm not. But on a scale of 1 to 10, right? Like, my how naked could I get on this bottle? I would definitely give it like a 6, 6.5. Like, it's a great flavor. But it's a high price bottle. I'm not going to crush it. I'm not going to drink it crazy. I'll have one of these at the bar. I'll have one of these at the house, but I probably won't have two. I will definitely switch back to like a Bullet or a Woodford, some more easy sipping. You definitely would pair this with any cigar. This is, if you like to smoke cigars and drink bourbon, which most people do, and that, you know, you've got a cigar night, you need a bourbon to go with, this is a great one. This is an awesome pick. I love it. So that is what I have for the Garrison Brothers single barrel. Do you guys have any questions for me?
Would you mix it?
Would I mix it? I'd love to say yes, but I would only mix it in one drink. And I will tell you what it is, because I had it this weekend and it was actually really good. Mm-hmm. But I wouldn't mix it often. I would make this drink to show people and let them taste it, and then never again.
And it'll be up in our Instagram.
So this is the Great Pumpkin, which is how we had it prepared. It was Tom's Town, which Josh had the other night on the last podcast. It has vanilla syrup. It has pumpkin spice liqueur, cold brew coffee, and oat milk. And this slapped. It was absolute candy.
Very.
I think some drinks benefit from having a higher quality liquor mixed into it, because you want the right flavors to come out and you don't want it to be that base level, you know, uncommon loot bourbon or liquor or whatever you're trying to mix into it. Sometimes I think having a higher quality mixer is better when you're trying to get like really specific flavors out of it. Josh, do you have any questions other than if you can have a glass? Because the answer is no.
Oh, dang it. Okay. Well, I guess there goes my question. No. Would you rather have that neat or on the rocks?
I did just drink it on the rocks. I could do that neat. I don't want to. But like that's good enough to do neat. It might just need to be cold, because that'll heat you up quick. Like, I don't know about you guys, but drinking neat is like grown man stuff. I'm not up there yet. Like, I still need my ice, you know. I got a set of Bullets, which are like whiskey stones, and I rarely use them because I don't drink it neat, because that'll keep it cold, but it won't break it down, right?
Yeah.
And I think having that ice, I get a lot more flavor out of it and a lot less heat. But I mean, I could drink it neat. Yes, I could. Okay. So onward and upward to my next glass and bottle. This is near and dear to my heart. And the reason it made a special entrance into tonight's episode is because I walked past it. It's a gorgeous bottle. I will present it to the boys, but I'll describe it to everyone else. This is Quest End. This is Fine Familiar Spirits. And this is done by Matthew Lillard. If you've ever seen the movie Scream or Scooby-Doo, he plays Shaggy. He also plays Stu Mocker in Scream. But he is an actor by trade and a nerd by choice. He always has been. So Quest's End is a D&D inspired bottle. It's a bourbon. These are all bourbons. Let me give you the stats on this one. It is 51.8% alcohol and 103.6 proof, which is a spicier drink, but it's made really well. So I started buying this because I'm a big D&D guy. I have all the books. I got Funko Pops. I've got a selection of dice. However, like when I heard this bottle was going to come out and it was paired with a story, it does come with a pamphlet and the book, and each bottle is a chapter of the book. And I believe in this first set, it is Paladin, it is Rogue, it is Warlock, and the bottle that I am waiting on desperately is Dragon. And that'll be the fourth and final chapter in this section. And once you put it all together, it is a story of how things fall apart or go together. I've not read them because I do want to wait till I have all of them. But again, it's well done. Each bottle has the map on the back. It's got the HP on the side. So as you drink it, you gain HP. But I feel like that's backwards in some way. Like I'm losing HP every time I take a sip. But what you're going to get out of this bottle is a four-year whiskey, same as a single barrel, right? And this has, let's see, hints of citrus and tropical fruit, which I get. And it also says important for avoiding scurvy because we have that problem today. Savory notes of oak, which I mean, I feel like most bourbons will give you oak flavors, right? Because they all come out of barrels. And then the brininess and spice is put in there to, like, for whatever reason, because I haven't read the story yet, support like that maritime zest, right? That pirate, that water. They've done what, the three bottles that go with the story, and they also did a collaboration with Critical Role, which was Sanskrit, and that was a brandy. So it got tasted and it got put back on the shelf. Because again, brandy is just a little sweet for me, a little too red wine, a little, you know, spicy that way. Nice. But this bottle is limited. You won't find it, I don't think. And if you do buy it, but it's $150. And I like it a lot. Like I've not tasted a bottle of Quest End that I don't like. So I recommend it, but I mix it, Thomas, for you, because I see it in your face. No, I would not. I wouldn't let Josh touch it. I'm not going to mix it. Was your question for that, Josh?
What's it called? I actually like the brandy. The brandy was actually nice. I do tend to lean to a little bit more sweeter drinks. And it was nice. It had a nice finish to it. I think it was really good. And I was actually just about to ask you before you brought it up if it had any side quests.
Any side quests? Again, I haven't read it, but I usually come up with my own side quests.
yeah, you do.
Just living my best life, being the people's champion.
There you go.
Well, I feel like you've covered two amazing bottles, and all upward and onward. Josh, let's hear about the two bottles that you got going on, since clearly it's a two-bottle night and I'm a one-bottle girl over here.
Look, you're the master of ceremonies. You got one really good bottle. Like,
one really good bottle. Yeah, exactly.
It says Texas on it. I mean,
hey, don't steal my thunder. I'm not there yet.
Who's really winning? Who's really winning here?
To be fair. So for me, I decided to mix it up a little bit. I got two bottles for y'all. One is called the Saxton's Single Malt Irish Whiskey. Right, we are the whiskey sticks. I decided to go with some whiskeys. And I actually really liked what it had here on the side that I want to read for you. That's okay. So the Sexton selects the best strains of barley for malting, patiently distilled in copper pot stills to create a precious elixir. I love that. The Sexton whiskey is a smooth and flavorful single malt of intriguing complexity, which I thought was really nice. It is a very beautiful bottle. I really liked it. Nice and short and chubby, if you will. Very cute. and for this, right, I'm going to go over with the eye, the nose, the finish and all that. But this is from Ireland, right? Irish whiskey, Ireland. It is a 4-year as well. And this is 100% malted barley. 100% nothing else mixed into it. And the cask is sherry, of course. And so now on to the eye, nose, palate, finish. So on the eye, it's a dark copper. And compared to the other one that we're going to cover here in a little bit, I feel like it's a lot lighter, not as dark as they say. Whenever I was tasting this and, you know, going on to the nose here, I didn't get much on the nose. Definitely for sure on the palate. But on the nose, it says that there's malt, cacao, citrus, apple, sherry, candy shop, if you will. But I don't really get any of that. But onto the palate, though, on the palate, yes, it is a very flavorful whiskey. And here it says that it has cherry, ma, cacao, toffee, strawberry jam, which I do get the little sweetness from. It is very nice. Cinnamon and nuts, which I also taste.
Like the nuts?
Very.
All right. Just want to make sure.
Not on Grindr, guys.
Oh, man. That's guilt.
Dried apricot, metallic notes, and a bit of mint.
Oh, you took a fat sip. Let me narrate that.
Thank you. But yeah, like, very nice. You know, it doesn't have too much bite to it, which I really like. You know, not overly sweet, like a... What was the...
Brandy.
Would like a brandy. Thank you. Thank you for that.
I got you, brother. I'm here all day.
Very good. Whenever I picked these two out, you know, I didn't know if I was going to like them or not, but they are both great, you know, whiskeys to have. And I do foresee myself in the future picking these up. Onto the finish, long, cherry, malt, citrus, and apricot. Balanced body and feel, a good sense of balance, medium and velvety feel. I do feel that velvety there towards the end, if you will. Very great bottle. I love it. My only complaint.
Only
complaint for this bottle is pouring it is not the best.
It is like a snub nose bottle. Yeah, it's not pour friendly.
Yeah, I'm showing it to the guy.
It is shaped like a stop sign, and it's very snubby.
It will be up on the Instagram for y'all to see. Not the best for pouring, I'll tell you that much. You do have to be careful or you are gonna make a mess.
Look, if you're not a skilled pourer, just say that, right? Like, I've watched a number of bartenders pour out of impossible odds.
What Josh really wants you to know is size matters.
Size matters.
The neck, you know, it needs that's a why long he was looking at that neck.
He needs that long
the neck. Long neck. Yeah, I'm let me narrate real quick. You know, Mike just double fisted there. but very great whiskey. I really liked it. I wanted to get, you know, two different types since I know, you know, a lot of people are doing bourbon here. I wanted to kind of mix it up a little bit. The ABV on this is 40%. Very nice. Very smooth. I like mine on the rocks. You know, a little bit of ice, you know, dilutes it, and it does bring out those flavors a lot more. You know, like Mike was saying, I really like it. On to my next one, though. And this, you know, we were talking about this earlier on. Jack Daniels.
Right? Wait. Before you get there.
ABV?
How much did it cost? And was it worth it? And would you mix it?
So, with the cost, $35.
That's very affordable. Doable.
Very affordable. Yeah, and so that's something that I really like, too. Whenever I pick these up, I'm all like, we'll see how they are. You know, they could be good. They could be bad. You know, at the end of the day, it's not breaking the bank. Right? So, $35 for this. Would I mix it?
With what? That's the question.
To make a sweeter drink, yeah. You know, like the one you were talking about, you know, it's called the Great Pumpkin. I would not mind mixing it with that, adding a little bit more sweetness into it.
Now, I disagree. And I'm going to be honest because I feel like you've got too much flavor in that bottle for the pumpkin spice liqueur and the fall. Yeah, you might throw it off. Like, you need something like Tom's is smooth. Mm-hmm. It's a solid little like kick, but it's not going to overpower that drink. I wouldn't mix it if I were you, but you do you.
Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, and that's why, you know, there's tests and trials, you know, you never know until you try it. So I wouldn't mind mixing it. And then I would learn my lesson, you know, from that.
I would learn the hard way. I take it to the face. That's my way of learning.
Exactly. And what was the other question as well?
Was it worth the price?
Yes. Yeah. For $35. Yes. Yes, I feel like this is very worth the price. Even if it was marked up a little bit, I would not mind buying. Very, very good bottle. I like that that I picked this up. Very nice. Very neat.
Very mindful.
Very mindful. Yes, sir. onto my next bottle here. So this bottle does have a darker look to it. And this is by Jack Daniels. And it's called Triple Mash Blended Straight Whiskey. A blend of bonded American malt, rye, and Tennessee whiskey. And this is 50%. So a little bit stronger. For this one, it is made in, you guessed it,
Kentucky. Jack Daniels is made in Kentucky. No shot.
Tennessee. It is Tennessee whiskey, after all. It is 50%. And both of these, by the way, are 4 years. The Saxton was in the barrels for 4 years. The Jack Daniels, on the other hand, is 4+ years. Might get lucky and might be, you know, aged for a little bit longer, which is nice.
RNG.
RNG, yes, sir. And for this one, it's cast in new charred oak barrels. Very nice. Which I liked. The price on this one, $30. For a little bit more alcohol volume, less price, which is nice. So if you guys are trying to...
How's that curb appeal? Like, how are these looking on my shelf? That's what I want to know. You tell me.
I like it. I like it. It has a very old-time bottle look to it, which I really liked.
Yeah, usually as long as it's not plastic, I'm good.
Fair enough. Yeah, fair enough.
That is a violation. You cannot put plastic on your shelf.
And
for the people that can't see it, what Josh means when he says it has an old-time look, if you close your eyes and you think of a bottle of Jack Daniels, it is the exact same. Now, the label is a little different because I think it's aged and poured in something different. It's a brown, where, you know, Jack Daniels is traditionally black. But, I mean, everything else looks like a bottle of Jack to me.
Well, that, and I do enjoy a bottle that has, like, I don't know the exact word, I'm not a glass worker, but, like, the letters that are, like...
Imprinted?
Yeah. Embossed. Yeah. In the glass.
Yeah, and that's what I like it. I feel like that's what gives it the old-time feeling. And, you know, in the back, it'll say established 1866. Very nice. Very demure. The blend on this one is American single malt, rye, Tennessee, bonded straight is the mix. Very nice. I like it. So with this one, whenever I was giving... You know, the first taste, definitely stronger. It is 50%. I felt that right away, you know, after tasting the Sexton over here. But, you know, with a couple of cubes of ice in there and I let it, you know, do its magic and stuff, you know, those flavors, again, started to come out. And I really, really liked that. And again, you know, it was sweet, not overly sweet, which I really liked. This one to the eye is a Ruby Amber. As described, it is darker than the Sexton. Very nice. I do like the colors on these. They're very beautiful. So onto the nose. Yep, I don't get anything from it.
But no, nothing. It smells like air.
Alcohol. That's all I'm getting from it. But, you know, to these professionals out there, they get dried cherries, sweet cream, vanilla, oak, cornflakes, and some malty sweetness and copper. Sweet, heavy fun is what they described it on there very well.
Sounds like your Saturday.
Our Saturday, sir.
Look.
Onto the palate here. We got dry cherries, sweet cream, vanilla, orange zest, oak, copper, roasted grain, baking spice, and a slight tannic bite. So this does have a bite at the end.
What is tannic? What is that? Is it tonic? Is there an O in there?
There's an A in there. Tannic.
Tannic. You know what? I'll Google that later. Tannic, yes, is a new one for me.
Very
like up. I know Titanic, but that's about it.
So yeah, this does have a bite. I really liked whenever it started to dilute a little bit more with the ice cubes in there. It brought a lot more flavors into it. Definitely recommend that, at least for myself or people who don't drink whiskey, bourbon straight. The finish, medium to long, roasted grain, caramel, dried fruit, and malty sweetness. Balanced body and feel, well-balanced, medium full body, warm, lightly oily feel. This one
heavy,
does feel...
creamy, fun. Whatever you said. How many glasses until you start taking clothes off? That's my review.
For the viewers out there, I'm currently fully clothed. I'm good. Oh,
they needed to know.
He's like, I've only got one sock off, okay?
That's all. That second sock's really close to getting taken off, though. I would say, what, this is my third and fourth glass, so six?
Six? Wow, we're almost there.
Two more glasses and we'll see how the night goes. Really good whiskeys. I really like them. And here on the side, triple mash. Then this is from the bottle, by the way. A blend of three bonded whiskeys with pleasant notes of honey, malt, and soft oak, leading to a long-lasting, well-rounded finish.
Nice.
Very nice bottles. But yeah, would I mix this? Yes, and to like what Mike was saying with this last one, you don't want it overly sweet. And I feel because of the bite, I feel like it would be a lot better with like those sweetened ones. Was it worth the $30? Yes, 100% worth the $30. At 100 proof, 50% ABV, you can't go
wrong.
What
is ABV? Can you tell the viewers?
Alcohol by volume.
There you go. I love it.
And so unlike these, usually whenever you go out and buy a bottle, your standard is 750 milliliters, correct? This bottle is 700. What if you're getting a normal size bottle?
I just don't go by milliliters. I live in America.
Well, that's what the industry goes by. And so this is actually 700.
Mls. So it's
so they shorted.
You're getting
you,
less.
You're
yeah, you're getting
less.
50 milliliters.
Same price. Less milliliters.
Yeah. All I'm saying is, like, in case that we all do the same thing when we go to the store, liquor store, buy a bottle. You do the hand feel, like, right? Like, am I heavy drinking? Am I light drinking? Does it have a handle? That's important.
Wow.
Look, some bottles are bigger. Like that bottle of Bullet we drink all the time, that should have a handle on it.
I guess let us know. Does size matter?
It's all about how it feels in your hand, right? Do I need two hands? That's the question.
Right. Wow. Very well. Would I buy this again? Yes. I feel like the two choices that I had today, really great choices. And, you know, I'm usually a type of guy that, like, oh, I've tasted this before because somebody has let me try it, you know, and I would keep going back to that. You know, I knew for this podcast, I wanted to kind of get out there, try something different. And these two did not miss. I'm very happy with the choices that I have. If I had to rank them, I think I would give them probably the Sexton, like a... 8.2 and then
way
the Jack
high.
Daniels.
Way too high. Blanton's is out there. Way too high.
I mean, yeah, but Blanton's going to be like in the nines.
Yeah, but no. But
and
you're
these
telling
are
me the difference between a $35 bottle and a whatever
$100
they're charging
bottle?
Now.
Yeah,
you're.
I really like them. They're really good. And this
look,
is to
you
me.
You like to be drunk. That's it. You're rating
that
it off of a skewed scale of I could get drunk on this. I'm just saying, there's no $35 bottle that's above a 7.
That is wild.
No, that's facts. That's like saying I'm like a 7 as a human being when I know Ryan Reynolds exists. Also, shout out Aviation Gin. Like,
great. Yeah,
I'm like
you,
a 4.5. I'm 5 foot nothing.
No,
you know?
You are not.
You got Ryan Reynolds out there, dude. He exists.
The scale is in the eyes, you know, in the beholder.
And let's be clear. Josh has recently been on record as being the Mexican McConaughey. So I don't even know how you're supposed to compete with that.
Yeah, I'm just saying, if like Ryan Reynolds is a 10, McConaughey's probably like a 9, 9.3, somewhere in that range.
You're putting Reynolds on
Ronaldo's
top of
a 10. Ronaldo's a 10. He's a Greek god. All right. Let's not get too deep into that. Just know that your bottle is like a six.
I know this is
tops.
Pressing you a lot. It's okay. We can explore this.
I'm just saying you're overrating that bottle. That's a $35 bottle. You're talking about it's an 8.5. It's best thing I've drank.
8.2.
I'm over here drinking a car note. I gave it like a 7.5.
My take, two good bottles. I do recommend if you want a little bit more of a bite, Jack Daniels. If you want something smoother, the Sexton. These are my bottles. I really
like
them.
Many like them, but this one's mine.
But these are mine. Yeah. Try taking them. They'll probably be
without
gone.
Without me, my bottle is nothing. Without my bottle, I am nothing.
There you go. It doesn't have a big old Texas star. So you lose a whole point off of your rating there.
Off boot. Okay. Fair enough.
All right.
Yeah.
Fair
on to
enough.
The next.
So I don't know that we plan to do this, ladies and gentlemen, but what we have effectively done is we've given you the three ranges to choose from. Josh is our value guy. Mike is the top shelf guy. And the bottle that I have is a middle of the road offering that I think is very, very good. And, you know, I don't necessarily know that I did that on purpose, but it just worked out that way.
Happy little accident.
Exactly. It's weird that I'm the top shelf guy and I'm the shortest of the three of us.
I mean,
like, I can barely reach the top shelf.
You know,
what you got me though.
Yep. Facts.
I mean, you know, they say that you know, a lot of the shorter guys normally buy the trucks that are like jacked up for that reason. I mean,
look, I drive an Audi. It sits on the ground.
I am not going to get a truck that's bigger than me. That sounds like more problems.
So the choice I brought today is called Penelope Barrel Strength Straight Bourbon Whiskey Texas Select. It is a private select. It is 116 proof, and it is 58%. ABV.
That is a bottle.
When I tell you, this thing is fantastic. I mean it. Shout out to an Instagram page called Bourbon and Bikinis. I was turned on to it by my baseball podcasting host. I do a podcast called Bourbon and Baseball. We do sip bourbons occasionally, not to the extent that some people feel like you have to have a glass in your hand all the time.
Not like we do here, baby.
Definitely yes, not. Sir. These guys are double fisted over here with two bottles and two different drinks, but occasionally we do. So, Bourbon and Bikinis put me on to Penelope. I found the Texas strength. I thought everything's bigger in Texas. Let's do it. And I've not been disappointed. This stuff tastes phenomenal. Let me break it down for you. The blended mash bill is 70% corn, 38% rye, 21.7% wheat and 4.5% barley malt. It's been aged 5 years. It's batch 23. It's bottled 201 and non-chill filtered. And I'm just telling you, when I say I wasn't sure what I would get, but I've been pleasantly surprised. I'm not a big nose.
You got a decent sized nose. Let's not lie.
No, I absolutely have a beak. There's no question. But I'm not going to tell you on the nose. It's like X and I taste this and that. I'm not that guy. One day, maybe today, it's got a great finish. I will say that. It's definitely got the caramel on the back end. You know, it smells like it should and it tastes phenomenal. I definitely feel like this is something that I would 100% buy again. Went to Specs. It was a $62 bottle. Obviously, a step up, but at the same time, not going to break the bank either. I would think, you know, it's something that you add to your collection. Like if you want something that's a little bit more, that's where you would go. I definitely would put this in an old fashioned in a heartbeat. I think it would be fantastic. Although the connoisseur that I am is probably going to drink this on ice. No question. Every time, you know, I have other bourbons for, you know, that sort of thing. If I want to get into it.
Yeah. Like Josh's bottles. You just pour that into anything. It's cheaper than a tank of gas.
Oh,
wow.
Gas is expensive. Funny thing. We talked about drinking them neat, that sort of thing. I was introduced to Scotch drinking it neat when I was actually in Scotland while I was in the military.
Wow. And soft flex. Okay. Wow. Okay.
Big guy over here.
I mean, you know, we're at William Wallace's castle. You know, we just decided to get a scotch and it tastes like gasoline. So for me, definitely chilled is the way to go. It's just the way I tend to do things now. Whether or not it's like Mike's talking about where you don't break it down, I have had it that way. I don't mind putting it on ice and letting it, you know, rest a little bit there. I think it's perfectly fine. I'm sure there are some aficionados that would take it as an offense to me. It's how I enjoy it. I'm not going to tell you you're wrong or right.
Look, as long as it gets you there, right? Exactly. Like, that's all that matters.
100%. But definitely an amazing bottle. I would recommend it to both of the gentlemen sitting here. Anybody listening?
I don't know that I can get Texas Select. I'm in Kansas.
To be fair,
that is true. Kansas Select. But I mean, I believe that Penelope's got a large variety that you can get. It's not an unknown brand. I think it's fairly popular. So definitely get yourself a bottle of it if you can, and enjoy.
Yeah, so sure. I would like some honorable mentions, right? You can't drink bourbon. It's cheap bourbon. And now talk about Four Roses. Four Roses is like the get in, figure it out. If bourbon's for you, you'll drink Four Roses. If you don't like bourbon, you won't like Four Roses. But that comes in at an astronomical discount for the quality you get. Companions here will be familiar with the Knob Creek Makers. One, if you haven't had it. Two, if you haven't had it. Elijah Craig. Ugh. Do I love me some Elijah Craig. Somebody got me like a single barrel Elijah Craig or something for like housewarming. And like, I sip that so fast. Like, let's be honest, I drank the whole damn bottle. But like, it was good from the first glass to the last glass. You also have Buffalo Trace. Buffalo Trace is delicious. I have these bottles. They are empty in my house, and that should tell you how good they are. But also, I do drink value bottles that aren't, you know, break the bank, as Thomas mentioned. But no, I do like to go out and spoil myself sometimes, get a bottle that's a little more expensive, see what that's about, like this Garrison Brothers. Worth every penny, if I'll be honest. I'm like 3-4 glasses in myself, and now everything tastes good. So the water is a little spicy. The nose, you're not going to get much. However, the finish, also nothing on water. Wow.
Well, I believe that concludes this episode of the Whiskey Sticks podcast. Again, I really appreciate all of y'all for taking the time, checking us out. This is something near and dear to our hearts as far as, you know, our whiskey and our bourbons and things of that nature. If there are any comments, questions, concern, please voice them wherever you get your podcast. We'll be more than happy to answer them on future shows. I think, for us, bourbon whiskey dialogue is never a bad thing. We're definitely down to talk it. Obviously, we're not the experts. We will never claim to be. Just really love having a glass of bourbon or whiskey in our hand.
Definitely casual gameplay for us. Like, this is we're children with adult money, and we're drinking bottles. Like, it's a learning experience. Like, for me, every time I open a bottle, now I'm like, where's my nose at? Like, I'm actually paying attention. I'm learning it more and more every day. I'd also like to make a recommendation for any people who like books. I have the Bourbon Bible, which is like a ton of bottles, a ton of mixed drinks, and it even kind of explains to you the differences. It's by Erica Zandana, or Eric, my apologies, Eric Zandana. And it's like 250 pages of different bottles, different mixed drinks, and what you should expect from each bottle. So if it's something you're getting into and you're not quite sure how to get down, this Bourbon Bible will be your guidelines. It'll tell you what you're looking for and what you're going to get from each bottle that you look at. And it's got all the popular brands in there. A lot of the bottles that we talked about, even some that we haven't. and I'm making my way through that book as fast as I can, one achievement at a time.
There you go.
Be sure to check us out on our next future endeavor. We try to do this every Sunday and put it out there for y'all early Monday. Mike, I don't know if you have any final thoughts. Josh, any final thoughts?
I'm good on my end. I mean, I'm having fun here, so everybody.
I just
want to
point out that I had a blast sitting in the passenger seat, like passenger seat princess.
Oh yeah.
Like Thomas took the reins, and I'm just in the back minding my business. So we'll probably do this again. We'll see if Josh can come up with an episode. This was okay. Thomas's idea. He birthed it, and I put it in his hands. I said, "Hey, this is yours. Take the reins. Let's run it." So I had a great time. I hope you guys enjoyed the conversations that we had, the Discord. Josh is still on Grindr, has not gotten off, despite...
I think it's Bumble. I think he wants someone to find him.
His lack of success.
I'm on none of these websites. If you find me, it's going to be out in the wild. You know, I'm a shiny Pokemon out in the wild.
Well, look, if you find him on Grindr, know that you'll be messaging me because I stole some of his pictures.
God dang it.
Mexican McConaughey 27.
There it is.
Jesus. Yeah, I mean, I hope everybody takes care out there.
Yeah, great absolutely. Episode. That's all I got for you folks. I hope you had a fun time. I know I had a blast. Until next time.
Later.
Peace.